Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to study the Word of God, to look at these great sections, Lord, these great musical pieces of Israel's hymn book, the book of Psalms, and the book of devotion, the book of worship and praise, and the book of prayers. And we just ask, God, that you would bless, comfort hearts, strengthen, Lord, those that are endeavoring to study the Word of God and to gain something eternal from the Word. I pray that you would be glorified and that we would live for you, Lord. And we just ask that you bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, so buksan natin ang aklat ng Psalms. Let's go over to Psalm number 44. And as a review, we learned that the book of Psalms is divided into five sections. Lima ang mga divisions sa aklat ng Psalms. So ang Psalms, mula Psalm number 1 hanggang Psalm number 150. This is 150 chapters, or if you would say that, or divisions or pieces. 150 Psalms are divided into five sections, groupings of Psalms. So, grino grupo ito, no? Either grouped by Ezra or grouped by some divinely appointed prophetic man that God used. So, we think, I would say, probably was Ezra. David probably grouped some. And so on and so forth, the sons of Korah, like we're studying now, but it doesn't matter. But we have them clumped and grouped into these divisions over here: Psalm 1 to 100, to Psalm 1 to 1 to 41 is Book 1, 42 to 72, Book 2. That's where we're at. Yan ang pinag-aaralan natin ngayon. Nasa Book 2 na tayo, kasi Psalm 44 ang pag-aaralan natin. So between 42 and 72, book 2. And every division ends with a blessing. So kung babasahin mo yung pinakahuling mga verses nitong mga chapters na ito, puros blessed, bless God, bless the Lord, benediction. Kaya alam natin naka-lima ang grupo nito. 73 to 89 is book 3, 90 to 106, book 4, 107 to 150, book 5. And this will form the outline of the entire book of Psalms, so that you have an overview. What is Psalms about? Well, it's about the worship of Jehovah God, prayers to Jehovah God. It's about the language of praise and the language of sorrow. It gives us hope, and it's a book of great devotion to the Lord. So this is a very theological songbook of the Old Testament. And so, fantastic. Now, nasa Psalm 44 na tayo, and then next Wednesday we'll be in Psalm 45, and excited about these next two Wednesdays. And then again, Brother Jay will substitute for me for the following two Wednesdays, and then we'll come back to Psalm 46 when we get there. All right, Psalm 44, sabi ng Bible dito, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, Maskil. Okay, so that's the heading of Psalm 44. Alam natin kung sino yung the chief musician. We know who the chief musician is. Asaph, it could be Jeduthun, Ethan, it could be any of those guys, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 12, where David appointed the chief musicians to lead in the worship of the tabernacle during his time, and then during Solomon's time in the worship of the temple. So they're the choir masters or the song leaders or those who direct the musical worship for God in the temple and all the feasts and ceremonies of the temple. Okay, so to the chief musician for the sons of Korah. Now, if you don't know who the sons of Korah is, you need to listen to Psalm 42, 43 last time, and we'll put a link on our Facebook page on that lesson para alam natin kung sino yung sons of Korah. Pakinggan nyo yung lesson ng Psalm 42, 43. Okay? So ito ay Psalm 44. Oh. So hindi ko na i-explain kung sino yung sons of Korah dahil in-explain ko yan last time. So maglalagay na lang ako ng link sa Facebook page natin para mapakinggan ninyo yung previous lesson. All right, so but the sons of Korah, and it says here Maskil. By the way, on the sons of Korah, there are 11 psalms sa aklat, sa buong aklat ng psalms. 11 psalms are the psalms for the sons of Korah. And in the study notes, you have Psalm 42, Psalm 49, 44 to 49, Psalm 84, 85, 87, and 88. So dun sa study notes ninyo, makikita ninyo kung ano yung mga 11 psalms na nakabanggit yung sons of Korah, so that you know what are those 11 psalms that are the psalms of Korah. And we have that in our study notes. By the way, if you need study notes, you can request study notes. They're free. Ilalagay din natin yan sa sermon audio natin. You can email us, you can messenger us, you can comment, give us your email, and we will send you our study notes absolutely free para makita ninyo yung 11 Psalms of Korah. Tapos sabi dito, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, maskil. Okay, what is a maskil? Well, the maskil, ang ibig sabihin ng maskil ay understanding or wisdom. Maskil is a poetic term. It's a term of poetry. So the structure of Psalm 44 is that it is a psalm of instruction, a skillful poetry that will teach you something. Well, the entire book of Psalms is a skillful poetry in my mind, but this here is specific to that, and the structure of it is a maskil psalm. So alam natin kung ano ibig sabihin ng maskil, pangunawa. Ito ay salmo na isinulat na may kahusayan at nagtuturo. So very very important words are found in Psalm 44, skillfully designed for meditation and thinking about God. So, let's see here. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, maskil. And then we'll look at the outline of Psalm 44. And so I have it over here. Ito yung outline niya. And it basically, if you notice, we begin at the bottom with verses number 1 to 8. Because the structure of Psalm 44 is you can divide it in three sections. So yung Psalm 44, pwede nating i-divide. Pwede natin siyang, may tatlong bahagi yung Psalm 44. And so there are three sections in Psalm 44. You can group them in verses 1 to 8. Looking at the past distinctions, how the Lord delivered them in the past. Verses number 9 to 16 is the present distress. This is where people are in the present tense, present distress. And then, of course, in logical ascension, verse number 17 to 26 is the future deliverance of the Lord for Israel. And so we find these this outline, ascending outline, building one on top of the other, and bringing us from the past to the present distress to the future deliverance. The past distinction, present distress, future deliverance. So ayan ang outline ng aklat ng Psalms. So pataas, paangat, nagsisimula tayo sa ilalim, tapos sa kasalukuyan, tapos sa hinaharap. So you see there's an ascending divisions of Psalm 44. So, pataas siya. Inaangat tayo sa para makita natin ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos. All right, so you have that outline there. All right, so let's look at verse number 1 to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, Maskil. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. So David composed this for the sons of Korah, and he brings them to the past distinction, to the past. What did God do for the forefathers of Israel? Well, he delivered them. He did great things. He worked wondrous things. We're brought here, for example, to the time of Joshua, verse number 2. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest Israel in the land of Canaan. Remember, the children of Israel exited Egypt by the mighty hand of God. And that mighty hand of God brought them into the land of Canaan during Joshua's time. And it says here, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. And also at the same time, during David's time, there were several armies that wanted to destroy Israel. As they were occupying some of the land that God has promised to Abraham 400 years or so ago. And then, of course, during the time of the judges, then the time of the kings, and then we come to the time of David. No doubt David had to deal with the Moabites. David had to deal with the Edomites, the Philistines. David had a lot of battles. And not all the time. Hindi lahat ng mga kalaban ni David ay nagwagi si David. He wasn't victorious all the time. There were times when the Edomites would slay thousands of Israel's army under King David. And so it was in that time that David would reflect on how God was good in the past. But now they're being defeated by the Edomites, for example, and they're asking God to do something about it for their future. And so David's being tested at this time. So, but he looks to the past. He remembers, what did God do for me? No? So halimbawa, ikaw nasa gitna ka ng pagsubok, anong the best na dapat gawin? Well, una sa lahat, dapat mag-isip. At alalahanin natin ang gawa ni Jehovah para sa atin, ang gawa ng Diyos para sa atin sa mga nakaraan nating karanasan. Pag-isipan natin, huwag kalimutan ang mabuting gawa ng Diyos sa atin. So if you're going through a struggle or testings or trial, what's the best thing to do? Well, Psalm 44 directs us to remember the past distinctions. Remember what God did in the past. Don't forget the mighty works of God. So verse number 3, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword. Think about that. Israel did not gain Canaan because of the sword, because of Israel's strength. Neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. What was the secret? How did Israel defeat her enemies? Was it because of their sword? No. It was because of the favor and the grace and the power of God. So this is exalting who God is and focusing on the Lord. Look at verse number 4. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob as they would pray and look to God for help. So remembering the past, remembering what God did for you and how God delivered you is a blessing when you're going through
present distress or present trouble. Verse number 5, through thee will I push down our enemies. Huwag kalimutan, it's through thee, sa pamamagitan mo, na pwede tayong magwagi sa ating mga kaaway. Through God, through thee, through thy name, we will tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. I will not trust in my bow. I will not trust in my ability, my sword, my skills. Well, this is a mass skill. This is excellent. This is understanding here. What great wisdom the Word of God has. Verse number 7. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Sila. Ibig sabihin ng sila, pause. Oh? Ibig sabihin ng sila, wait, stop. Think about what was just mentioned and let the instruments play, but the singers are to rest or to stop, to pause. And then the instruments are going, okay? And then they're going to sing again in verse number 9. But anyway, Selah, stop and think about what was just mentioned. So here, David reflects on the past distinction, how God delivered them. And it's good for us when we're going through trials to remember the past works of God. And to remember who God is and not rely on ourself. Now, the past is that God delivered the Israelites and gave them victory over their enemy, but their victory was not by human strength. Their victory was not by human strength, but by the Lord. Again, verse number 3. For they go not in the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Israel knew that it was the Lord that delivered them. And you can see this in Deuteronomy. Let's look at some other verses to verify the truth that it wasn't Israel's strength and ability that delivered them from the enemy. It was God using them, using their ability, using what little they have that they yielded over to God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37. The Bible says, and because he loved thy fathers, because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. So again, what was the basis or the reason that Israel could escape Egypt? It sure wasn't because of Israel's power. It was because of God's love and God's favor. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. Deuteronomy 8, 17. The Bible says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is as it is this day. So is it Israel that got the wealth and the power? Was it because of them? No. It says in verse 18, remember the Lord thy God. It's him who has given you the strength, not ourselves. We have no ability, we have no power in and of ourselves. Our strength, our ability is blessed by God. And so God blesses what we surrender to him, what we turn over to him. Deuteronomy chapter 9, one more verse. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse number 4.
Deuteronomy 9, verse number 4, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them from out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness, Lord, the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Verse 5, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart. So why did God drive out the Canaanites? Is it because of their righteousness? No, it says in verse number 5, not for thy righteousness. No, God didn't give them the victory because of them and their righteousness. They have no righteousness. We have no righteousness. The only righteousness we have is what's given to us when we receive Jesus Christ. And the only victory that we have is whatever God has blessed us with and graced us with. So it's God doesn't bless us because of us. He blesses us because of Jesus. And that's the reality and the truth that Psalm is teaching us. Psalm 44, remembering the past of what God has done for us. Now, the present, verse number 9, we're going to look at this section, verse number 9 to 16, changes. All of a sudden, the Psalm 44 looks at the past, thinks of how glorious God is and what God did. Then all of a sudden in verse 9, it switches, it changes. Notice verse number 9 to 16. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. What happened? Well, the children of Israel thought that because Jehovah delivered them in the past, that they would deliver them all the time. And they trusted in themselves instead of trusting in God. And they brought in their battles to the tabernacle, for example, thinking that, man, if we bring the furniture and we present it before the army, the enemy, that we will win. They became superstitious in their battle. And they began to have faith in self and faith in the furniture, instead of faith in Jehovah God, in the Lord. And because of that, when they carted the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, thinking that they will have the victory, they get whooped. They get beat by the enemies. And so here's the reflection of that. Verse number 10, thou makest us to turn back from the enemy. They which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and has scattered us among the heathen. Man, they slaughtered us. They made us into slaves, taking us captive. And certainly, there were times that David experienced this. Thou sellest thy people for naught. Thou didst not increase thy wealth for their price. Verse 13, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, and a scorn and a derision to them that are around us. Thou makest us a byword or a proverb or a saying. Among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. So what happened, Israel? What happened? We thought we were strong. We thought we could handle our enemies. But we are put in a present distress. We're it's dark. We don't sense God anymore. This is a warning. This is a warning for us as believers, as Christians. We don't want to read the Bible like superstitiously. We don't cart the Word of God thinking that because we have a copy of the Word of God, that alone is sufficient for the battle. No, we have to believe the Word of God. No, we have to hide the Word of God in our hearts. No, we have to practice the Word of God. Yes, we need to study it. Yes, we need to meditate in it. Yes, we need to pray and talk to the Lord. But man, we need to believe the Word of God and apply the Word of God and live the Word of God. Learning about it is one thing. Learning about it here is one thing. Learning about it here is another thing, and that's the most important thing. So, otherwise, we can look good, dress nice, go to church, and still fail, and still be in darkness, and still not understand how to live for the Lord. Because we, just like the children of Israel, we forget Jehovah, we forget the Lord, and then we start thinking about how good we are and how, man, we got it all together. And man, it was our sword and our bow and our exterior, everything we did, it was us. And we forget it's not us. And boy, you want to be in present darkness? Focus on the outside things. Look at yourself and promote yourself and be about yourself. Boy, you'll be in present darkness just like this. You'll wonder, where is God? Now, so verse number 17, the last section here turns again. The psalm turns again and looks to the future deliverance. There's still hope, hoping in the Lord. In the middle of suffering, in the middle of testings and trials. Now, verse 17, all this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Notice here what he says. We know we're in present distress, but verse 17 says, we have not forgotten thee. So you see there, the David, the sons of Korah, were in the middle of distress, but they did not personally forget Jehovah. They continually walked with the Lord, even in darkness, even when things weren't going their way, they still walked with the Lord. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. We were faithful. We didn't forget the Lord. We were faithful. And I hope, in the middle of testings and trials, I hope that as we go through testings and trials, we can say that with integrity of heart. We have not forgotten the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. In the middle of testings and trial, the best thing to do is to be obedient to the Lord. Verse number 18, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Oh, I hope you can say that. As I go through problems, as I go through trials, my heart is not turned back. I'm not going to backslide. No? So ang mga Kristiyano ho, dadaan ho tayo sa mga madidilim na karanasan. At responsable ho natin, responsibility natin na wag mag-backslide sa ating puso. The heart is not turned back. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. Hindi natin tatalikuran ng Diyos, hindi natin kakalimutan ng Diyos, gaya ng sinasabi ng verse 17 tsaka verse 18. Bagkus, umaasa tayo sa Panginoon. So sa kalagitnaan ng pagsubok, wag mag-backslide. Maging obedient. Continue to obey the Lord in the middle of testings and trials. Verse 19, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us in with the shadow of death, I mean even death, dragons and death, come what may, we're going to be faithful to the Lord. Verse number 20, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretch out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Wow, the secrets of the heart. God knows my heart. I will be faithful to him. I will walk with him in the middle of testings and trials, even in the shadow of death. I will not give up the faith. I will walk with him. This is how you suffer faithfully as a Christian. I hope you can say these verses, powerful verses. We've not forgotten God. We will do the right thing. God knows our hearts. Verse number 22. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, if you read the New Testament, you know that Paul encouraged the churches at Rome in Romans chapter number 8, verse 36. Going back to Psalm 44, Paul talks about we are like sheep for the slaughter. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, para tayong tupa na hinahanda para sa katayan. Tupa na hinahanda para sa katayan. Yung tupa na yan, faithful siya, tahimik siya. Bagamat siya ay ikakatay, wala sa kanya yon. Kung baga, ino-offer na lang niya yung sarili niya. Handa siyang mamatay para sa purpose niya. Paul encouraged the Christians in the various churches at Rome, especially the main church at Rome, to remain faithful in the midst of slaughter, testings, to remain faithful. And he reminds them of the love of God. So we need to remember that God loves us in the middle of testings and trials. Don't forget, God loves you. And if he saved you, he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But the problem is, when troubles come, we forget him. We forget his past distinctions. Then we're blinded by the present distress, and we don't look for a future deliverance. Look at verse 23. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Oh, awake, Lord. Is the Lord asleep? No, he's not. But do you remember the time when the disciples were in the boat? What was Jesus doing in the boat while the storm was raging? The disciples were fearing for their life. What was Jesus doing? He was asleep. And the disciple says, awake, Lord, do something. Help us. Don't you know that we're perishing? Carest thou not that we perish? Why are you lying asleep? And so verse 23 is definitely like the Lord. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Help us, Lord. And it seems sometimes there are times when you feel like the Lord is not paying attention, or the Lord is asleep, or maybe the Lord's not doing something. But really, God is in the background working all the time. And he's testing us to see if we will trust in him. You don't have to worry about God. Is he faithful? Yes, he is. Will he leave us and forsake us? No, he won't. But are we faithful to him? No. Do we forsake him? Yes. Okay, so the problem is not Jehovah God. Who's the problem? Come on now. Verse 24. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? Forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake, thy love, thy covenant love's sake. David here encourages the sons of Korah to remember the mercies of God, the love of God. Remember the love of God. And that's the reason why we can go to God in our present distress and look to him for future help, because of his love for us. God did not bring us this far to forsake us and to leave us now. No, he didn't. And even if we get through the shadow of death, you know, God will never leave us or forsake us. We lost a dear sister, Nanay Loring, no? Tinawag siya ng Panginoon, inuwi na siya ng Diyos. Pero sa kalagitnaan ng pagsubok ni Nanay, naranasan ni Nanay ang katapatan ng Panginoong Diyos sa kanyang buhay. At nung kinuha siya ng Diyos, inuwi siya ng Diyos, tapat pa rin ang Diyos sa kanya. And so, malungkot kami na wala na si Nanay Loring dito sa mundo.
Pero masaya kami dahil balang araw, makikita rin natin si Nanay Loring ulit. At kasama niya ang Panginoon. Kasama siya ng Panginoon. And so, yes, we sorrow because we don't have Nanay Loring with us. But man, God is faithful. And God will never forsake her because she received Jesus as her Savior. We know that she's in the presence of God and we will see her again. Oh, that's all we could say that about everyone who received Jesus as Savior, who believed in the Lord. We could say that if they truly repent and truly trust in Jesus, truly receive Jesus in their heart as their Savior and trusted in Him. Didn't matter if they died, because their soul is with the Lord forever. And He'll never leave them, never forsake them, never. Eternity future is bright for everyone who believes in Jesus. Always. The best is yet to come. Now, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus, oh my, this is it. This is your heaven. This is the best. This earthly life is the best you'll ever know. Because the next life is without Christ, without God. Ooh, it's a lake of fire. Not good. So let me urge you to trust in Jesus as your Savior before it's too late. All right? But so God's love makes the difference in our difficult times. God's grace, God's mercies, God's covenant kindnesses, plural, a plurality of amplitude. God's mercies overwhelms and stabilizes our situations. We just need to remember Him and look to Him and continually walk with Him, trust in Him in the middle of our present distress. Let's pray and ask God to bless. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for the truths of Scripture. We thank You, Lord, for how the Psalms just give words to our experiences and draw us closer to You if we would study it, apply it, and believe it. Help us, Lord, in this area to trust in You continually, Lord, in the middle of present distress. And we look to a bright future because of Jesus Christ. And we love You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.